Hi, my name is Anita Foster. I'm the Library Media Specialist from Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Lindley 6th Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey, everyone. I'm Lori Quintana. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
Welcome to Overdue, Conversations from the Library.
So what are we talking about today, ladies?
Oh, one of my favorite subjects.
Data. Dum-da-da-dum.
Dum-da-da-dum. You know, when I was a classroom teacher, I collected data all the time. Let me just get this out there. I am not a math person in any way, shape,
right?
or form.
Me
I don't
either.
Think any of us are.
No, I married a math guy because I can't do math. Just saying.
But I bow
to math teachers. I'm not going to lie. Literally.
But I love data. Love data.
I love data, like looking at it, how it relates to the library, for sure.
I do too.
Because it helps assess, you know, what I'm doing, what I need to improve on, that kind of stuff.
Well, so. And we get so little data that I'm just so intrigued with what we do get. I'm just enamored with it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to look at it all day. Because it's not like we're a classroom teacher and we're inundated with data. You know what I mean?
Okay. So I just have a question for both of you. We have the reports that are already built for us in Destiny. How many times have you tried to create your own report and it won't come out?
Too many times to count.
Like it doesn't show what I'm asking it to show. And so anyway, I just had to throw that out there because I'm like you and Ingrid. I'm like trying to find all the different ways I can find data.
No, it's true. And I've reached a point, I hate to say it, but I do reports I know are going to turn out the way I want. And then I compare them to other things.
Well, you know, there's the report builder.
Right. Well, honestly, even using report builder, I struggle. Like it never.
Yes, me too.
It doesn't turn out the way I expect it to. It's not sorted the way I want it to be.
Side note, training on report builder and Destiny.
Right. Me either. And so I end up running really basic reports and then applying those reports and that data to things I get from my academic coaches that, or my academic coach that talk about SRI scores and Lexiles SRI scores, as I just said, based on grade level or based on classroom teachers. And then I look at circulation. Like I kind of make the comparison based upon what I can extrapolate from Destiny without too much trouble. I hate to say that, but.
So you say you run the SRI reports. So how do you have access to do that at your school?
Honestly, I just go to my academic coach, for those of you that have one, and I'm like, hey, listen, I really want to get the SRI scores per homeroom for each teacher. And then I want to use that to be able to go back and compare that to circulation and participation in reading promotions and a variety of other things to come up with my own data. And it takes literally so little time for them to run that report. And they've always been very open-minded. But if you don't have an academic coach, I would say an AP would have the same ability to run that very quickly and easily.
Yes, because last year when I did my Reluctant Readers boy reading group, I had about 10 boys that I met with for a semester and we did Reluctant Reading. I went to my AP and I asked for their SRI scores at the beginning. And then I asked for their SRI scores at the end.
Exactly.
And all of them showed like humongous gains. Some of them.
Yes.
She was even shocked at, one of them was her son, but she was even shocked at some of the gains that the boys had.
And okay. That's why data, I just want to throw out there. That's why data is so important to us because what we're doing really is impactful. But because it's not data that's frequently looked at or considered, it's normally ignored. And if we can draw attention to the things that you were just talking about, Anita, we are making an impact and we are taking those students and we're making a positive impact on their education and their abilities. And we just need to be drawing more attention to that.
I agree.
Okay, but I want to know, Ingrid, so when you talked about how the SRI scores improved dramatically, where did you show a link between the library and that? Where did that come in?
The first time I did it, I was a new library media specialist and Jonathan Tanner was very data driven. And I realized that I needed to come to the table with something more than, hey, lots of people like my space and they're there all the time and we have a great time and we read books and smiling. Like, that wasn't going to get me very far. Not that Tanner ever shot me down for anything like that, but inherently I knew that I needed to bring something more to the table. So what I started to do is require that students who came in to participate in my reading promotions also logged in and to a Google form I had created that indicated their grade level and their homeroom teacher. And then I took that data and I looked at beginning SRI scores for all grade levels and ending SRI scores at the end of the reading promotion. And I determined what grade level had the highest participation. And then I looked at what grade level had the highest SRI score increases. And it was consistently throughout that first year, the grade level that had participated the most in reading promotions. So that gave me something to talk about from a data standpoint. Look at, mm-hmm. you know, extra reading, regardless of what they're reading, has a positive impact on their overall reading ability. And so it was that data that
helped. How about you, Anita? How about you, Anita, when you said that
on April 24th, 2017, and they talked about why is it the most important data you collect, and or what is the most important data you collect and analyze in the library? And one of the things that I liked on here that schools are about student learning. We need to show evidence that our work aligns with the educational goals of the building and districts in which we operate.
I love that.
I agree with that 100%.
So I'm going to link this article from my, because I'm on a computer, so it won't let me switch over to our overdue, but I will tag.
Can I quote the last part of that article?
Yes. Anita?
It says statistics alone are worthless. You should also be providing a narrative and photographic evidence of activities when reporting to the powers that be.
Brilliant.
So that right there is saying, share what you're doing in your libraries.
I agree. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was not a Twitter person.
I'm still not. I'm trying.
Twitter has told me that I have been a member since like 2005 or something. I have no idea. But did not start using Twitter until Lori pulled me out of the dark ages.
Amen. Go, Lori. Look at you revolutionizing all of us, like one at a time.
You need again, more on here.
My former principal, Paul Gillihan, pulled me out of the dark ages and put me on Twitter. So,
I highly recommend when you've got something going on in your space, take pictures of it. Shoot it out there. You are not bragging. You are not tooting your own horn. You are showing the importance of your position in your school.
And you know what else I just realized recently about Twitter?
Learning. You're sharing student learning.
Exactly. And it doesn't even have to be something great that's happening in your space. Like today I tweeted out my happy moment about this one little baby who got a book for his birthday. And he got so excited that he left and came back 30 seconds later to get all of his stuff and said to me, I was just so excited, I forgot my stuff. Oh my gosh, you little angel. That's important. That's part of what we do. That's what makes us important in the lives of our students. So it doesn't have to be some big, huge lesson that you took pictures of and everybody was interested in. It can just be that one small interaction you had with one student.
I can't cite this right now, but I can tell you I've read it plenty. How the libraries are the safe place in the school for all students. That's where we're building relationships with these kids.
Exactly.
And so there's just so many layers where we make an impact.
I agree.
And every layer is important to share.
Yes. No matter how big or small. I don't, I want to confirm that as well, Ingrid, because we've had people tell us before that we make them feel bad about themselves by what we
Which
share.
Which breaks my heart. Oh my
God. It really breaks my heart because it really is supposed to be to inspire people.
Yes.
Not make them feel bad about themselves.
Break out of your comfort zone. Take a risk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I just want to say, I want to see what you're doing because I have respect for you as a colleague in this profession. I want to see it, what you're doing, and because I'm excited about it. You know what I mean?
Aww.
And so I want others to be excited about sharing what they do, no matter how big or small it is, because something really small to you can be, you know, somebody else's like, aha, you know what I mean? So
absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, none of us went into this profession for all of the glory and riches and fame.
No.
We are here to change lives, sometimes one at a time, sometimes in a large group. But at the end of the day, we're here to make an impact, and we're here to help students to achieve higher, to learn more, to do better. And that's what we do.
So here's another quote from the same article.
I just tweeted out, so it's already on Twitter under my account, but I tagged all of you guys.
Schools are about student learning. We need to show evidence that our work aligns with the educational goals of the buildings and districts in which we operate. That's the quote.
Yeah.
And I love it.
So data is important. Now, what I do, how I share it, I gather it from Destiny. I gather it from Library Track. Those of you, again, like Ingrid said, that's not using Library Track.
Student surveys are good too.
It does the.
They are.
It does it for you. Students type in their student ID number, the teacher that sent them, and the reason why they're there. And you can even select the reasons and add and change the reasons on there. Well, then they sign out when they leave. If they remember, a lot of times I end up signing them out.
And I'll be honest, I actually subscribed to Library Track before our district came on board with it. We were piloting it with high school. And I purchased it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to spend that $500. It is well worth it to have somebody else spend the time.
Yes.
To compilate all of that data for me. Like,
and let me tell you what I did. I even made a private calendar on there for collaboration, so that I can document when my collaboration
is. That
is
so smart. I love that.
So I don't have to, nobody else sees it but me, but I can go in there and I can put collaboration in there when I have a collaboration meeting.
Okay, so when we meet for our PD in service, you're gonna show Ingrid and I how to do that, right?
Yes, oh, we are.
It's super
That's
easy.
That's brilliant. Talk about a great thing to put in whatever thing you're using to document at the end of the year for your review. What a brilliant tool that is. And I love that so much.
Exactly. I go into Canva I've done it in Pictochart as well, but I just paid for Canva for the year. So I'm trying to get all my money's worth. And I think I already have, and the year's just starting.
I love Canva. I do everything in that.
And you know what? I am not a fan, but y'all have turned me. I'm gonna make Canva my new thing.
And so I go into Canva and I make a little image, whether it's a, you know, Instagram image. I did that one last month, but this month I wanted more data on there because I had more to share. But I wanted to say this. When I first did my data yesterday for September, I'm like, numbers were down. Oh, no. And then
we had a week off for fall break.
I counted that in. I was like, we had that week off, but still it was down. And I showed it to my principal. I said, well, it isn't great, but it is what it is. I'm still going to share it because I don't believe in hiding behind bad data. And so I printed it out and I was putting it out. And then last night when I got home, I pulled up. Okay, now I told you I've been collecting data for 10 years. I have an Excel spreadsheet and I have my circulations on there. I have overdues on there, which I don't really post anymore, but to share the data. I have my top grade level. I'm at my 3 grade levels. Who checked out the most books? I have my top homerooms. So I've been collecting data for 10 years. And so I put it up next to last year's data, and I went, oh, wow, there's an 11% increase from last year.
So can I just pause you for a minute? I just want to hit pause. And I want to talk about how amazing it is that you've been in the same space doing the same thing for the number of years you have, and yet you continue to grow your students continue to prosper and you continue to look for new ways to make a positive impact. That's amazing, Anita. I just need everybody to pause for a second think on that. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. I love my job. I love my school. I have no intention of leaving. My principal and I actually have a retirement pact that we're not allowed to leave until the other one leaves. Okay, so 11% increase from last year, but then I looked at the year before and it was a 22% increase. But here's the funny thing. Our student enrollment has dropped. Our student enrollment has dropped by over 100 students in the last 2 years because of the neighborhoods that feed into us. They have, their students have gone through, but they're still living in the house. So a couple of middle schools in our area are seeing this issue. So,
But that's so important. That's so important. And I'm so glad you brought it up because all of those things impact our data. So when you look at those raw numbers, you're thinking, wow, so I'm down 10% over last year. And yet you aren't, because the number of students you have has changed. It's so important to take all of those things into consideration when we look at data and to make sure that we are sharing a fair representation of what's happening.
No, it was up 11% from last year with less students and up 22%.
Okay. See, look, I even misunderstood. That's even better.
So, yeah, it was an increase, really. So, yes, you have to look at and take all of that into account when you're looking at your data. But you've got to share your story through data because nobody else can.
Amen. I love looking at current data and going back and comparing it. Like, that's one of my favorite.
I know. Things. I love that.
Especially when things have gotten better. So
there's nothing better than pulling up historical data in a week where you're not doing anything that you feel is important, or people have come in and yelled at you because of something you can't control, because we get all of that and that's great and it's part of what we do, but there's nothing that cheers me up more than looking at that kind of data, that raw data that reminds me that, hey, listen, you're not having the best week ever, but overall things are looking up.
I agree. And you can't.
And you said that yours improved dramatically as well.
Yes.
How did you link it to the library?
Well, my boys that I've met with, it was during Viking time. On Wednesdays, we have drop everything and read time. And I just sent out an email to the language arts teachers. And I said, I need about 10 or 12 boys who, or I said 8 to 12, whatever it was. I said, I need boys who are reluctant readers. I wanted specifically boys who are reluctant readers, and because we were reading The Terrible Two. And I was really doing it just to get them hooked into a book. Mm-hmm. And we read the entire book in the spring semester. And it went great. And I was just doing it for reading and enjoyment and to get them to read. And at the end was when I asked my AP, I didn't even think about it before. At the end, I asked my AP, I said, hey, can I get their SRI scores from January and their SRI scores from May? And she said, absolutely. And she printed them out for me and her mouth dropped open when she saw some of the scores. And
see, I love that. I mean, and the reason I asked you and Ingrid this is because I think a lot of library media specialists wonder what can we do in our libraries to create that link to the data, because I think a lot of times that's missing or it's overlooked by admin or the staff or whatever. And so having those examples of what you can do to create that link and then also comparing the scores, you know, it's tremendous. And so
I mean, I love what Ingrid's doing. I have never thought to link SRI score increases by homeroom that is, you know, participating in or my highest circulation homerooms or anything like that. That's good data that now I want to go and look at.
Yes.
But my problem with that is it may be a little skewed because my highest homerooms are typically my AC classes. And so that
brings up another topic about which students you target to help increase their scores and their reading, you know, achievement and stuff like that. So when I'm looking at like our independent reading program, our school-wide independent reading program, Griffin Reads 30, I sit there and I look like, which kids do I pull aside, kind of like you did, Anita, right, which is something I'm very interested in doing. And then just looking at their data instead of trying to, I think sometimes we try to look at the whole school, the data of every student, but maybe pulling a smaller population in and making an impact there and then moving on to the next. You know what I'm saying?
So my requirement for it was that they had to be at or just below grade level reading.
Okay.
I don't want struggling readers because they get support from a co-taught classroom or a co-taught teacher.
But Anita, that doesn't mean that those students are also not benefiting from coming in and doing independent reading with you. And while I appreciate the students you targeted, I mean, we presented on this topic and I was right there with you while we were looking at this data and comparing it. But I also want to point out that I think part of our issue is being able to link our data with those special interest populations, those kids that require that additional support. And how are we positively impacting everybody in our space, not necessarily just the ones that we want to look at? And again, I feel like those ILL students, those ELL students, small group readers, they all benefit a lot more than I think most people realize by what we're offering in our spaces.
Correct. Now, I did, for my specialist degree this summer, I had to do this huge data thing, which I loved doing, and I took it to show my principal when I was done with it, just before I turned it in, just to get his feedback on it, and he was shocked at all the data that I had done. But what I had focused on was reading levels based on state assessments and this narrowing it down, because I wanted to see if there was a discrimination between students who were not getting served and their reading levels and students who were getting served. Some of them were double dipping.
Oh my gosh,
and
I
then
love
multiple
this
things.
So much. I love everything you're saying so much.
And I took it to him, and it turns out that the students who were not achieving, there were a handful that were not getting service at each grade level. But now we know, I went to him and I went, I want to focus on these kids because they can do it. They're just not. So I need to go back and look at that again and talk to him about that again, just to get those students some assistance that they're just below grade level, but they're not getting serviced with ELL or ESOL or our special ed or co-taught classrooms or reading classes.
So, and I think that's brilliant. And I'm so there. I am on board. I'm going to go into school tomorrow and I'm going to pull those reports myself and I'm going to start to look. But having said that, let's talk about what we do with the data once we have it. So now we have this fabulous data that talks about how we're impacting students, whether it's special populations, whether it's homeroom, grade level. At the end of the day, we know we're making an impact. We have data, although some people will say it's not hard data. It's still data. And we've got it in our hands. Now what are we doing with it? What do you do with it now? How do you share that, and who do you share it with?
This brings me to the survey, the data that I collected yesterday.
Woohoo!
I guess we need a library standardized test.
No, I don't want that.
All right, Lori, I see you.
I'm blocking her. So
I see you with your alternative agenda. Yes.
So yesterday I sent out, I did this quick little survey. It was like 4 or 5 questions, not much at all. So I sent out this survey to the library media specialists in our district, and I was shocked to get as many responses as I did. I'm so appreciative of our district and their support that they've given us. And, but we had over half of the library media specialists in our districts reply in a 24-hour turnaround. So to me,
that's
that was
amazing.
And it was, I think it was pretty even with, the middle elementary and high representation there as to what we really have in the district. Elementary is heavier, so we had more elementary, but the questions I asked them was, what data do you collect on a regular basis? And the tops were circulation statistics and how many lessons they've taught, with top patron visits, top titles, and top patrons coming in third, fourth, and fifth. So some of them did other, and I'm trying to remember what those others were. I can't remember off the top of my head what the data they collected. I think it was like not just
top. I think that some of them went into some of them go into Library Track and get some data too.
Correct.
Which is a great tool. FYI, if you're not using it, I don't know how I live my life without it.
I love it too. I love it too.
I agree.
It gives me all my data for my classes and the
It's amazing.
Visit. Yes. And so anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Anita. So then the next question I asked was, how do you share your data? And 27 of the people out of the 62 said that they print and post it. They were allowed to pick multiple things. So, but they printed and posted was the largest one. I do that. Also, I put it on my doors, on my windows, so people can see it as they enter the location. So the other one was the next to the largest one with 23. And a lot of that was they share it with their admin through email. They put it in their SLEI notebook. So those are not in Cobb. Our supervisor, Holly, and was Joanne on? No, Joanne did something else. But Holly created the SLEI.
It was Dr. Snipes from West Georgia.
Snipes and Holly, and I think there may have been a couple other people that I just don't know who it was, created it. SLEI thing. It's being spread out now throughout Georgia.
It's a
school library evaluation instrument, and so some of them share it in that notebook that they created for that for their evaluation tool.
So what I'm hearing is that we are telling our direct observing supervisor, and we are posting it in our space for teachers who are already coming into our space and playing with us, to reassure them of what we're doing and why it's impactful. But that doesn't talk at all to the people who don't, those teachers that never step foot in to our space, and the shareholders, the stakeholders that are not aware. Like, I'm not complaining. I'm just observing.
Right. Well, I'm surprised, Ingrid. I'm surprised that it's not shared more fruitfully out there into the world. I mean, because there's social media. Our newsletter, I post it in our transition hallway in the library. I just shared it today at our family literacy night committee meeting. I post it in my blog. It's everywhere. I put it everywhere. And people love it. They really love it.
I do too. The statistic on here that shocked me the most was out of the 62, 16 said they do not share their data at all.
So those are the people I want to talk about, because
you've got to look at data, because like you said, I've been in the same position for 10 years or more. I always lose track because I've been there so long. I feel like I've, you know, rooted in, but I've been there so long that I need to grow, like you said, but the only way that I can do that is by looking at the data and using that data to guide where I'm going.
Exactly.
Because if I'm not looking at the data, then I have no idea what I need to do to make changes. I mean, I was just talking to one of our parapros today, and I said, hey, I have this idea for a display to do, you know, towards Christmas time before the students are checking out books to take over break, and where they can check out a whole series of books or something like that. Or, you know, I was weeding some of our historical fiction, not historical fiction, but our classic literature books. And I have a lot of like mythologies in there. And I'm like, or we should package some of the mythologies with some of the Rick Riordan books that does mythology, and combine them together so that they can see the, you know, classic literature right alongside some contemporary. So I'm always thinking of ways to improve and get students to read more. And the reason I do that is because I'm looking at my data to guide that.
A lot of times, Lori and Anita, my cohorts in crime. Y'all are vivacious and you're confident and you are out there, just, you're all over social media and you're all over everything and you're just telling people what you did all the time, every day. And I did not start out like that. For the record, I just want to say that I literally, when I started my career 6 years ago, I'm like, I just want to sit in my space and play with my kids and my teachers, and I'm good. And I didn't do anything. I would pull my numbers. I would compare my numbers. I would look at them, and then I would share them with certain people, and I'd be like, yay, look at how great we did. And that was it. And I had an academic coach, Aaron Thaler, who was like, listen, I'm going to need you to make an infographic. And I'm like, nobody wants an infographic, Aaron Thaler, about library data but you. And she's like, I don't care. I need you to do it. And she forced me to start to communicate. We would be at BLT meetings and we would go around and every different content area would talk about what was happening in their space. And they would come to me and I'd be like, yeah, we're doing great. Smiles, thumbs up, moving on. And she would pause and be like, well, what Miss Hansen isn't telling you is blah, blah, blah. And I was blessed to have an academic coach that shoved and pushed at me. I had a principal, Jonathan Tanner, who started to realize that I was shy about sharing this stuff because it felt weird. Like, I'm not trying to stand up in front of a room full of people and be like, hey, look, I'm fabulous. Y'all should pay attention. It just felt awkward.
It's not about you being fabulous. It's about what your library is doing for all of the students.
And I know that today, and I completely agree. But at the time, it didn't feel like that.
Okay.
And so
in a time and age when libraries are in trouble of closing and we're losing library media specialists across the nation, everybody needs to know how impactful library programs are.
Amen.
And how they are affecting our students positively.
Amen. No,
and so
girl,
nobody's going to know if you don't share it. It's
I
not
agree.
Because we're trying to highlight.
Not at friends, all.
You know what I mean?
But and I want people who felt like I did. I want every library media specialist who is listening, who felt like I did, like I'm not trying to stand
yes.
up and say that, to know that that isn't the case. And I was blessed. My principal, my academic coach, Holly, pushed and shoved me. I remember the first time Holly said, can you present that? I was like, no, I can't do anything like that. That's horrifying. I've been doing this for 25 seconds. And you want me to talk to people who've been doing this for 25 years. I don't want to do that. And
but
I had a team that said, you know what, I don't care if you're comfortable, you need to do it anyway. And they pushed and shoved at me until I felt more confident in sharing what I was doing. And my point would be that I was blessed. I had people that forced me out of my comfort zone. But if you're in a position where nobody is forcing you out of your comfort zone, I want to be that person. I want to be able to say, I was wrong. I should have been talking about what we do and why it's impactful. And I should have made it less about myself, Lori, as you were just saying, and more about the program and more about the impact it is on students. And I wish that we could all just understand that. And it took me, my learning curve on that was a hot minute. It was probably 3 years before I felt confident showing up at a district meeting and presenting anything to anybody. Like, that did not happen overnight for me, but I am super grateful that I had people that showed me how important it is, because as you point out, Lori, we're in a position where we need to be defending what we do, and we can't afford for people to just sit quietly and be doing amazing, fabulous things that we know that they're doing, but they're not telling anyone. And I was that person.
Okay, so let me just say this. Gone are the days of the stereotypical librarian who is
Amen.
Timid. She's timid in her space, and she's quiet, and she just passes out books.
Oh, yeah.
We are now in a position.
I'm just going to say, I'm proud of passing out my books, okay? I'm just
Me
saying.
Too.
I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm saying that the stereotype is wrong. Yes, we do pass out books, but we do a lot more than pass out books.
We do, but the reality is there are a lot of people who still feel like what they're doing is support only and secondary and not worth that attention and is not impactful or meaningful. And it took me a solid 2 to 3 years to figure out that that's not true.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, if you want to be seen as a professional and as us having a professional position within our schools, within our communities, across the nation, and what we do in the schools to impact students, it has to be known. It has to be out there, because right now people are confused about what we do.
God, that breaks my heart.
And so they're not exactly sure what we're doing in our positions. And so we need to show them and we need to share that with them.
We do.
It starts with the students and sharing with them and letting them know what's happening in their libraries and what resources are there and how we can help them become better learners. Yes. But then you've got to share that with our peers in this profession so that we can become better together. I can tell you, you talked, Ingrid, about how you're going to get up in front of people who've been doing this for 25 years. I can tell you, I haven't been to a conference or a professional learning opportunity yet where I haven't seen even somebody with 25 years of experience not learn something from somebody else.
Oh my gosh. And so I didn't mean to imply that anybody wasn't learning or couldn't learn or wasn't interested in learning at all. And I can't apologize enough if that's what it sounded like.
No, I was trying to say that because I want other new media specialists to realize that they are making an impact too, and they have something to share to benefit our profession is what I want to make sure that they have the confidence to do that, because I'm only going in my fourth year of being a library media specialist myself, but I love the job so much. And I believe in what we do so much every day. That is why I share my data. That is why, like you said, we are like in everybody's face every day and sharing everything that we do. I do it because I love it. And I want other people to see that impact and how wonderful the things that we do are, you know, just so powerful, I guess. I'm trying to find a better word, but powerful in so many ways. And so this data thing, by not sharing your data, you're hurting your stakeholders, you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your peers,
you're hurting your students because you put everybody at risk for not having what we do and your students can't draw upon that if we're not there.
It's not boasting. It's not boasting.
But that's a hard thing to get over. And I 100% agree with you. But I came kicking and screaming to this world.
Those library media specialists in Cobb County, and I'm speaking to you specifically in Cobb County because you filled out my survey yesterday. And those that said they don't do their data because it is tooting your own horn. I'm going to be strict here. I'm going to say this, and a lot of people's not going to like it, and I am not going to apologize for it. But those of you in Cobb County who think that, then you need to be thankful that you work in a county that supports its library media specialists, because there are a lot of counties and districts that do not, and we are fighting for those positions.
And I will say this, a turning point for me, Janelle McClure, I went to the Campbell High School opening of their library media, of their learning commons, pardon me, with my principal, and at the time, Jonathan Tanner. And Janelle was there, of course, and Mr. Tanner grabbed her, and he was just saying, you know, all these wonderful things I was doing, all these great things. And Janelle looked at me and actually yelled at me in public, I'm not proud of it, and looked at me and said, I haven't heard any of those things. Did anyone ever help you when you first started? Did somebody help you and help you find a solution to a problem? Did they give you an idea you didn't have? And now you can't do that for anybody else? And I felt like crap. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I'll do better. And she's right. At the end of the day, she is 100% right. Even if it isn't about your data, at the end of the day, somebody helped you. Somebody made you feel like what you did mattered. Somebody gave you a solution to a problem. Somebody gave you a good idea. Somebody helped you make your program stronger and better than it was. And it's our obligation to give that back. It's our obligation to share that.
I agree. And I learned that the best way possible through my former principal, Paul Gillihan. He's such a servant leader. And I'm telling you, every day I go to work now, my motivation is, how can I help this student? How can I help this teacher? How can I help my admin? Because if you're going to lead from the middle in our space, you have to have that attitude. And so I'm constantly looking for the data that links the library to all of those stakeholders, that is impacting all of those stakeholders. And so this is a great conversation, and you sharing that
makes it possible for me, Anita. I'm going to go back and pull those groups that you were just talking about.
Me
I'm
too.
Do things differently because you had the courage to share that with me and with Lori and with whoever else was listening. And at the end of the day, somebody helped everybody. We all help each other. And as Lori says all the time, we're stronger together. We need to have that open line of communication. We need to be willing to listen to somebody else who has been there, who's walked in our shoes and found a better way to catch that mouse. We need to be listening and we need to be sharing.
And I'm not getting this from me, just from me. I did a lot of research this past week because I knew that we were going to be talking about this topic.
I was going to talk about the articles.
I love that you pulled articles, by the way. So, I love that so much. Can we just cite those sources, please? It makes my little media son or heart, my little media specialist, excuse me, heart happy.
Well,
cite that source.
Let me just
I'm
say.
I'm looking at the one from School Library Connection right now.
That's what I'm looking at, too. And I love that part in the middle. School Library Connection did a post.
All right. Okay. Bye, y'all. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Bye now.
All right. Bye.
Okay, but now let's talk a little bit about data from the collaboration and how we're impacting in the subject areas and that kind of, student learning that's taking place in the library. What kind of data do you share with that or look at to kind of link yourself or your library and what you're doing in your library to that?
So I use my collaboration calendar, and I also, for my SLEI notebook, I have on there one of my goal for this year is collaboration. And so I have a document in there. It's a table. And every time I have a collaboration meeting, I just add a new line to the table. And who am I meeting with? What are their needs? And what did I provide?
And that is why you're going to do that little PL for Lori and I, because right now it's my happy planner and me jotting down notes. Okay, so I spoke with Thompson today about coming in and doing X, Y, and Z, and I spoke with whoever it may be, and I keep those notes, and then I screenshot them and dump them into my SLEI notebook or whatever, but how much better would that be instead of snapshots of my happy planner with stickers if I actually had a spreadsheet? So yeah,
I tell you what, I will do that for you guys, but I am sure we have some listeners out there that want to see it too. So what I will try to do in the next week or so, you guys need to hold me to it. Before we meet, we're meeting next Thursday to do some recording. So before we meet, I want to have a video to put out there, and I'll link the link on Twitter, showing people my notebook, complete transparency, and what it looks like so that they can set theirs up.
I love that. I want that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. If you think everybody would want it, I'll do it. If y'all
I
think
want,
it's,
well, everybody else may not want it, but
matter.
I want that.
It doesn't matter, but because those that do will appreciate it, and those that aren't interested, it's okay.
So exactly. A new stat that I added to this and why my thing turned from a square into an infographic, things I wanted to add this week or this month to my data was, I've heard a lot of people complain I met teachers at my school, other library media specialists. Well, they check the books out, so your circulation stats are okay, but are they really reading the books?
Oh, I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of that question. Anyway, go ahead.
So one of the stats that I added to my data chart thing this month was top hours logged reading.
So I have my... how are you determining who's read?
But then there's the next question. Are they cheating and logging?
Okay, so I can't control that. It's an honor system. But
Sam, you can't control whether they read the book or not either. But they're checking them out. So you have to assume that they're reading them,
well,
if they're coming to the library.
But you know what, though?
Them.
Like, for example, I do my reading promotions. And I had a kid who showed up and said that he had read the Donner Dinner Party graphic novel and turned in a little yellow sheet, wanted his popcorn and his new book. And I'm like, so tell me what you read. And he's like, well, you know, they got stranded. I'm like, what did they eat? And he's like, well, they had to eat fruit and berries. And I'm like, listen, dude, you didn't read the book. Like, you did not read the Donner Dinner Party if you're telling me they ate fruit and berries. So here's where I'm at. You don't have to fill out another sheet. You do have to go read that book. And you can come back and enter the drawing and get your popcorn when you can talk to me more about the book. So, I mean, I feel like there are checks and balances. But the reality is we all are in big schools and we can't take the time to talk to every student.
Right. So I'm doing it with Biblionasium because I have a reading permission going on throughout the year. And students are encouraged to go into Biblionasium and log their reading. So I had one student who, during the month of September, logged 67 hours, 67 and a half hours. And then the rest of them were in their 20s. But I did my top five reading logged students.
So are you checking in with them?
Most of them I know personally because they're frequent flyers in the CLC. So I see them on a regular basis checking out books. The new thing that I'm starting, hopefully in the next few days, is my teachers. Okay, just a second. Holly, close your ears for about 60 seconds. Okay, now we're good. All right. So my teachers do not like Biblionasium at all. At all.
Right? Mine hate it.
There's no accountability to it.
Exactly.
So I'm
at well, going... I just wish it would work when I use it and try to teach with it.
Stop, Lori.
So, okay, I only have like 30 more seconds. So I have created a handout sheet, half a sheet of paper, but it's front and back for them to list their characters, list the summary of the story, or write about the summary of the story. There's like four or five things I have them do on the front of the book. They rate the book, tell me who the author is and the title and stuff like that. But on the back of the sheet is their reading log. And it gives them places to write the date, how many pages they read, and how much time they spent reading. And then they are to total it up at the bottom before they turn it into me. Again, we have not started this yet, but we're going to. And then we're going to keep this in an Excel spreadsheet. And I'm going to allow my students to do that in lieu of Biblionasium. Or if they're comfortable with Biblionasium, do it through Biblionasium.
I mean, I think Biblionasium has great tools in it. There's always something wrong with it. It's not working right. I can't get something to load. It doesn't tell me which books are in my library. There's always a glitch. And so the credibility of it with my teachers has really dropped down because of that. And so I can't go and promote something to my teachers that extensively, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because then my credibility goes down and then they're not going to want to collaborate with me later on. But this isn't about trashing Biblionasium. I think it has great tools in it.
Well, and I think I'm in a position where I inherited people's opinions and I have no control how it was presented or the problems that they had or how they were addressed. And I feel like I'm not alone in just inheriting negative opinions. And I think that you're right, Lori. I think that potentially isn't fair. I think that it's a good tool. It has a lot of potential. It's just how we choose to use it in our space and whether or not it's actually downloading our books, whether it's giving us a fair indication of what's happening in our space. So, yeah.
Well, and I feel like if I would actually like them to come up with a middle school, high school version.
I would love that.
I think that my middle school kids are, you know, like, oh, this is kind of babyish for us.
Right.
Agreed.
So if there could be something in the middle. Yeah. I mean, if there could be something in the middle of Biblionasium and Goodreads for middle school, high school kids, I mean, and like go somewhere with that. I don't know.
Well, my teachers want something on there where the students are talking about the books. And they do have an optional summary on there, but it's optional. Yes. And my teachers really want that filled in, and the students aren't doing it. So they're like, well, how do we know that they really read it? And I'm like, it's an honor system. I mean, we have to teach our students to be truthful and honest in things. So
well, how do they know if they read it when they do a paper log?
Exactly. Good point. So
I mean, I had a student when I was trying to teach Biblionasium say, well, I'm just used to the paper logs and I can carry that around everywhere I go in my backpack. And I said, yes, but the dog might eat it. Something might get spilled on it. You might forget it at home. There's all kinds of things that can happen. When you go digital with Biblionasium, you can check your and record your log when you're out of the country, when you're at grandma's house, when you're, you know, and I said, and that's how you're going to collaborate globally one day when you're working in your career. And so I it's not that Biblionasium is a bad thing. I hope I didn't put that out there. I think it's great. I need the glitches worked out.
I agree.
Because it has great data features. You can get a lot of data from it.
And I love the data.
Yes.
It's just my teachers don't like it. And so I was going back to a paper one to help support their needs.
Yes.
And then they can show it. What we're going to do is have the student show it to their ELA teacher. And then their ELA teacher can give them, you know, either a homework pass for it or some PBIS points for it or something like that. And then they bring it to me, and then I'm going to give them, you know, prize wheel type things.
Another great reading program that we just started today, it actually just started today and runs through October 31st, is through the Georgia Tech Women's Basketball. And it used to be called Jacket to Jacket, but they changed it this year to Buzzer Readers. And they use a paper log, and I have to record it, and then I report it to the Georgia Tech people at the end of October. But all participants, all students who participate get free tickets to a December basketball game. And there's a pizza party before the basketball game. And they also, there's other prizes that they do for the highest recorded pages. There's a halftime where you get called down to the court and get recognized for that and stuff. So paper logs, I mean, I don't think they're ever going to go away. They're, you know, so, but yeah, I just thought I'd share that because that's another one. And also the Six Flags reading promotion started today.
Cool.
I'm just sharing some little tidbits as we're talking about these things.
Yeah. Well, this is our conversation. This is how we roll.
So, but, I know, right?
But yeah, I thought it was important data to have on there how many hours a student logged reading because I want students to say, oh, I mean, I put it up on a bulletin board out front for our reading promotion, who are our top readers for the every few weeks I update it because this promotion is going on all year long. But I just thought it was important to put on here as well so that they can say, oh, I need to get my name on there. So I want to log my reading. Because this is not associated with our reading promotion. This is just top readers for the month.
Yeah, but it, again, our topic is data, and it's giving more data.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
on that note, Lori, let's recap.
Okay.
What are the ways that we can gather data? How can we share that data, and why is it important?
Yes. Yes. Voila.
Okay. Opa. Well, here we are. We're done now. We've done our job.
Okay. So we're gathering it through Destiny and through Library Track and also from calendars and various other things. Yesterday, it took me about an hour and a half to gather all of my data. I'm going to be honest
now,
with you.
Can I put something in there really quick?
Of course.
We're talking about sharing and all. So Anita, I know you and I have started sharing it. Well, I share mine monthly. I've done that since I started. I update it every month. But I also noticed in the survey that some people do it semesterly and yearly. And I'm like, how?
Yeah. Well, I'm
curious about that one.
In some of the comments, somebody said that they gather their data monthly and then combine that to do semester or quarterly or however it was that they do it. And then some people just
I get too excited is what I'm saying. I'm too excited. I want to share. Like I couldn't wait a year.
I think I learned so much from my data every month and looking at it every month. I can go back statistically and tell you what were my slowest months and what were my busiest months and things like that. And that helps guide some promotions and things that I do. So
So it's important to look at it. We share it in different ways. So let's talk, just a reminder of how we're sharing our data.
I share mine. I post it on my doors. I put it on my blog. I tweet it out. And guys, even if you think your data is bad, tweet it out, because it's probably not. And you're going to help encourage other people to do it. But I share it on my blog, social media. And then we have a weekly newsletter that goes out. And so I just submitted it today to that for the end of the month. So, or for their next thing.
Awesome. Okay. So I also share on Twitter. I just did my September 1 today. I put it in our school newsletter, which goes out weekly every Sunday. I put it on my blog, and I have a transition hall that goes through my library. And so, yes, there are students transitioning all day long through the library, and as well as teachers and staff. And so I have this big bifold sign out in my hallway there, right by the check-in station. And it talks, on one side, it has the top 10 homerooms, and on the other side, it has the top 10 student patrons. And then I put on the side of the circulation desk, the top 10 titles. And this is, actually, I do this weekly. So I run this report and post this weekly. It's become very, everybody's eager to see it every week is what I'm trying to say. And so I actually had a teacher walk by yesterday, and she stopped and looked at the top homeroom patrons, which would be the teachers. And she saw that her name was number 2. I shouldn't have said it that way. She was number 2 on the list. And she's like, okay, well, I can see where this is going to get competitive now. And so, like, seriously, it inspires people in ways that you didn't even think it would. And so now she's going to go back and encourage her kids to read more, right? Well, maybe come to the library and check books out and read. But anyway, so yeah, share it out everywhere, guys. It's amazing. And I just want to comment too on what you said, Anita, about sharing no matter what your stats look like. Everybody's library is different. Everybody's library size is different. You have different numbers of students. And so everybody's looks different for a reason. And so don't feel intimidated if yours doesn't look like somebody else's. I think actually by posting your stats, even though they're not as high as somebody else's, is actually being inspiring somebody else who might be in the same category as you. And that's where you can collaborate with that person.
Agreed.
And get in touch with that person to you know, share things because you're comparable, maybe. You know what I
right.
mean? So
but anyway, I could not compare mine next to yours because you have over twice as many students as I have.
Right. We're looking at the 1500 mark.
and I'm at 750.
Yes. Yes.
So, there's no way. And then two, we have very different demographics as well.
Yes.
So you cannot compare your program with anyone else but you.
Yes.
And sometimes even from year to year, like I was talking about earlier, even from year to year, it's going to change and it's going to shift. But you knowing what those changes are, on my comparison spreadsheet, I have on there special things that had happened that year. Like one January, I saw it today, one January was really low. Well, we were out of school for over a week because of snow. So that's on my note on there.
So ultimately what we're saying is that everybody's data is going to be different and that everybody's center is different. Your school size is different. No library media center is going to be the same as anyone else's. But at the end of the day, knowing where you stand, knowing what you are doing and how you are impacting students can only help you improve your program and your impact with
student
your learners.
Learning. Yes, agreed. Agreed. So Ingrid, are you going to do your infographic?
Girl, you know, why'd you have to talk to me about that? We were all fine.
You made Anita and I share what we're going to do. Come on now.
Well, I'm in a new space. It's a new year. So I'm still trying to get my footing. But I will say that, I have posted recently. I just did a print screen and made it into a poster and put it in my space that in the first 20 days, we had a 241% increase in library checkouts. Can you
take a screen or take a picture of that with your cell phone tomorrow and share it on Twitter? I want to see it.
Okay, well, but I've been riding that wave. So I've been super excited about that.
Girl, you know, I've shared it
at meetings. I made sure I made a poster of it. I have made sure that I have communicated that. I have not shared it on Twitter. But yes, I am still trying to come to grips with sharing what I'm doing as a reflection of my students and my program and less a reflection of me. So it's still a struggle, but I'm working on it.
But I think you've been in this position at your new school for since August 1st. So a couple of months.
Correct.
And even without you posting as much as Anita and I do, I feel and see the impact you're making already. And so I think that if other people who have moved to a new building or have started brand new at all would benefit from all that.
Well, thank you. And it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that, you know, you can talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk.
So yes, if girl. You need a Canva, if you need a Canva, I'm not as good as Lori yet on Canva, but I have no problem showing you how to use it. Or I'm sure there are some Twitter, YouTube videos.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's a great idea, Anita. If we all start doing videos and sharing them, I think that's awesome. That's just another way to
communicate
with our colleagues and stuff. But if you did your last infographic for September in Canva, it looks fabulous. I'm sorry, it's October. It's fabulous.
Ooh, look at you. All right, y'all. I feel like we should be wrapping it up.
Yeah, so yes. The bottom line. Longer than we intended.
Yeah.
Can you tell we haven't talked in a week?
Right? Yeah. It's too long.
The important thing is that you are aware of your data so that you can make changes as you need them in your program. And then you are making others aware, other stakeholders that your admin, your students, your teachers, your parents, the correct. Community, you're sharing your data, good or bad, with them to let them know so that you can help, they can help support you. But also it's sharing your story and telling them what is going on in your space that you're proud of or that needs to have work on it. A couple of years ago, I was even putting my goals down at the bottom. I would set monthly goals. And I would put my goals for the next month at the bottom. So like October's goals would be at the bottom of September's data. Mm-hmm. And I would,
I love that.
I would share those That's out. Brilliant. So yeah. So it, you,
can you start doing that again? Can you start doing that again? So Ingrid and I can like hold you accountable.
Please. I'm all about that. Anita, we're just calling you on it.
I probably could, but yeah, I've just been so busy.
Girlfriend. Yes. It's a busy school year for sure. But that's why we love our jobs.
Amen.
Right?
All right. Well, I just have one more thing to say, and that is just remember that even though we love our schools and we love our districts, that everything that we say,
she loved us, Ingrid.
I did too. I'm like, I love you too, Anita, but no, not so much.
I love y'all, but sometimes I tolerate you too. No, I do love you guys. I respect you guys so much, and I appreciate you guys jumping on this bandwagon with me and teaching me how to podcast to do this. So I really appreciate everything y'all are doing, not only for your schools and your students, but for your professions. I love you guys. But everything we say is our own opinion.
And it's true. And
has nothing to do with our district that we love or our schools that we love. So just remember, if you didn't like something that I said, it's all on me.
Or something any of us said, because God knows we're not shrinking violets. So there That's we right. are.
All right,
we're all trying to work this out every day. Come on.
Yep, that's it. We're all doing the best that we can to promote our profession in the best way that we can.
And that's all anyone can ask.
Listen, I admitted I hadn't read Harry Potter on Twitter the other day. That was some serious confession. So anyway, also Ingrid, I got our OMG classics today. I just want to tell you.
Do you not love them? Oh my gosh.
OMG. No, that's why they're called OMG, right?
Right. I can't keep them in stock. Like, literally, I had two girls come in today and they were like, hey, do you have any more of these books? I'm like, girl, I do, but they're checked out. Like, put a hold. I can't help you. I'm trying, babe.
I'm okay. Like, if you love Twitter, you'll love them books.
Right?
Anyway, I'm sorry. Anita's trying to close off here.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to be cutting a lot of this out.
No, you can't do that.
All right.
Good stuff.
Well, love you guys.